I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And though I know you can't appreciate it, I'm only happy when it rains. You know what is up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Networks. Thanks to each and every one of you for what was a lively discussion about if it was your best friend or kid who shot the United Healthcare CEO, would you turn him in? It's a difficult question. Just want to finish that up with some of your last texts and comments. A texter from WLCX saying, there is an answer to this. It is Medicare for all. Bernie Sanders has been talking about it for years. We're the only Western democracy where people have to file bankruptcy because they can't afford their health care. John from Oshkosh saying, it is a tough call. My mom had to ration some of her meds and go without others the last 2 months of the year because insurance companies want more record profits rather than living up to the obligations of someone who has paid for insurance for 50 years. Corporate America is as corrupt as anything. Money is the root of all evil. Thank you all for a great conversation. We'll have more breaking news about Mr. Mangiano at the bottom of the hour, but right now I've got a great guest to help us answer what is a very important question here in the state of Wisconsin, because politicians have been telling us some conflicting things about what our tax burden looks like, and are we actually getting what we think we're getting out of it? My next guest is the executive director of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. His name is Jason Stein. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Jason. I always like to begin with thank you for all the work that the Policy Forum does. We are very blessed in this state to have you all helping us understand the important questions of the day. Help us understand where Wisconsin's tax burden sits in the moment today as compared to other states. And then we'll talk about sort of the backward looking. We'll talk about education funding. We'll get the full picture for people. But help set the stage. Where is our tax burden relative to other states?
Sure. And by tax burden, all we mean is you take all the state and local taxes in Wisconsin that are paid each year, and then you divide it by personal income. So the people's ability to pay those taxes. And what we found when we looked at it was that in the most recent national data on this, Wisconsin's tax burden has now dropped to just below 10%, 9.9%. And we rank nationally 35th. Now well into the bottom states, well below the national average, which is at 11.1%, which is a big change from where we were at a generation ago.
This is always a very interesting question to me, Jason, because one, understanding the relative burdens is important, but it's not the whole story. Has, in fact, Wisconsin's tax burden, if you will, again, the aggregate of all local and state taxes together, has it indeed been trending downwards, or is this a reflection of a national trend where tax burdens are coming down? Which direction is the trend line moving on this here in Wisconsin?
Sure. So there is a national downward trend, but Wisconsin is, our burden is declining more than that. So in the year 2000, our tax burden was at 12.5%, and we ranked third highest nationally at that time. You know, again, in 2022, which is the most recent national data, we have 9.9% in Wisconsin, and we rank 35th. So that's a bigger drop than any other state has seen in its tax burden over that period. So it's, you know, this is very unusual what has happened in our state. And it has also, there have been some trade-offs that have come with this. So if you look at our education funding, you know, we would have been eighth highest in the nation in 2000, and in 2022, we were 31st. So, you know, those two things have moved together, which is not surprising because education is, the K-12 education is the largest single expense at both the state and local level.
To me, fascinating, and it's no accident either, then I could infer, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this explosion of school funding referenda that we've seen across the state, to many of us, it feels like every election cycle, our school district is asking for money, is again a reflection and the predictable result in the
fastest overall decline in tax burden in the nation as measured against 2000 as a baseline. Is that a fair inference to draw?
I think that's fair. If you look at our website, and all these reports are available for on our website for free at wispolicyforum.org, you can see we have one recent brief on the tax burden and another one on the November referenda that were on the ballot. And there we found that in 2024, there are going to be 241 school referenda, and that was the most held on record. We've had a very large number of referenda approved in 2024. The approval rate is down a little bit from the last even numbered election year, which is kind of how we compare these things, but still very large dollar amounts. We saw, earlier in the year, very large $252 million referenda in Milwaukee Public Schools. And then later this fall in Madison, we had $100 million operating and more than $500 million capital referenda, which both of those passed. So, very significant ballot initiatives that have come forward this year. And we do also see those on the actual bills that are going out in December. If you look at the gross property tax levies for K-12 school districts, those are going to rise by the most since 2009.
Wow. So we're going to see that on our property tax bills going up the most since 2009. It's a really interesting, I would call it like funding shift, right? From if you can maybe even conceptualize it in this light, that in the past, especially our biggest cities, of course, economic engines, educating a lot of the workforce for the state, a shared funding burden with all Wisconsinites, now very much shifting to a localized funding burden through these referenda. And yet it seems that school districts, it doesn't matter where your district is. I don't know a school district in the state, rural or urban or otherwise, that feels comfortable about their funding level, especially in the post-pandemic environment where student needs are so much more complex and demanding, especially in the mental health and emotional sphere. I wanted to also ask you this, as people assess our tax burdens on a relative basis, and as they look at the decreasing in education funding, what should people expect going into this next biennial budget debate that we're going to see at the state level? Because you already see the sort of teeing off of the issue between DPI Superintendent Jill Underley and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. What can people anticipate? What should we be getting ourselves ready for in terms of the 2025 budget debate?
It's a good question. The state in June 30th of this year closed its fiscal year with a $4.6 billion balance in its main fund, its general fund. And so you're seeing a lot of jockeying among different interest groups for how that money would be divvied up in terms of spending increases or tax cuts. From our perspective, and we put out another recent brief about this, it's important to note that although the state really has a very strong budget, it is possible, because right now the state has a lot in the bank, so to speak, but is spending more than it's taking in actually at this time and in this fiscal year. And so, as we think about ongoing permanent spending increases for education or income tax cuts, some of the things that the two parties have both, jockeyed for, those are going to add up pretty quickly in terms of the amount we have in the state budget. Now, if you look at one-time expenses, like let's say paying for capital projects for the state with cash instead of with debt, there's a lot more room to do those kind of one-time spending measures, or I guess a one-time tax rebate if that was your preference. But the ongoing state budget may be a little bit tighter over the next spring and summer than some people might expect, just given the headlines about these very large state surpluses.
So is it accurate when we hear someone say we've made in the last biennial state budget the single largest investment in public education in a generation? Is that a factually accurate statement from the Policy Forum's perspective?
I have heard those kinds of statements be made. I have not evaluated that claim, so I don't want to weigh in on it. I will say sometimes those numbers are not adjusted for inflation.
Yes.
And, you know, we have recently had inflation.
A little bit of inflation, yeah.
Year. Yeah, so that's, you know, if you're going to evaluate those claims, you should check and see if they've been adjusted for inflation.
Because if we adjust and understand the trend in education funding over this period of time, say from 2000 to 2022, and you account for inflation, our increases are even smaller because, again, it's not on an absolute dollar basis. Is that fair to say? I don't want to misrepresent the data points here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the challenges that school districts are having right now is in the 24-25 school year, number one, the federal pandemic aid has run out. So last year was sort of the last year to get that. And then number two, a lot of districts, in particular, the Milwaukee Public Schools, are coping with pretty significant enrollment losses. And their funding model is built off the number of students that they have. So, you know, if there's a declining enrollment, you know, over, you know, which is certainly the case for most public school districts since the, you know, pre-pandemic, let's say 2019 to now, that's a real crunch because, you know, they have certain fixed costs, you know, and if they're going to cut those fixed costs by, like, let's say closing a school building or closing a location, that is a difficult conversation to have and not something that you can do overnight if the policymakers choose to do it at all. So those are some of the things that schools are grappling with.
And Jason, if you know, I heard someone mention that we haven't updated our public school funding formula, which is used in quite a long time. Do you know the last time that funding formula was updated or looked at?
Yeah, that's a good question, Maggie. I mean, there are changes that get made around the edges to that. And certainly there's been a lot of changes to school revenue limits that limit the amount of money that school districts in Wisconsin can take in from general school aid and local property taxes. But in terms of the formula used to distribute state general school aids, you know, I've been knocking around the Capitol for 20 years, and I wouldn't say over that period there's been a real major overhaul of that formula.
Yeah, which itself is fascinating given all of the technological changes over this period. When we come back, hey, do you know if you have a lead lateral? Are you in one of the communities with the most lead laterals? We'll discuss that with Jason Stein, Executive Director of the Policy